Bibles, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you for praying for Miss Sarah Hilton and the loss of her mom. And I think they had her service this week. And so thank you for praying for me as I was away caring for my parents. And while I was away, I got something that has affected my throat and my voice. And so I hope you'll be able to listen closely today, and we'll pray that my voice holds up. All right. Now, you don't quit listening before I quit preaching. Amen. That's the deal, right? All right. Ephesians chapter 6. Find, if you would please, verse number 10. Finally. That's many people's favorite part of the message. Finally. That means we're done. Finally, my brethren. Do you know that's not what Paul's saying here? He's not saying, listen, I just got a few parting remarks and then I'm going to land the plane and I'm done. No, that word finally means from this moment on. From this day forward. Paul's saying that I'm no longer going to be a victim, I'm going to be a victor. I'm not going to be overcome, I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm not going to be conquered, I'm going to be a conqueror. That's what he's saying. Christian, you and I need to make a decision in our lives spiritually. Either we're going to be trampled on or we're going to be triumphant. Either we're going to be overcome or we're going to be an overcomer. Either we're going to be conquered or we're going to be conquerors spiritually. And you know what? The decision, the choice is up to us. God's provided everything necessary for me to be victorious in the Christian life. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies, the methods, the schemes of the devil. He goes on to say, for we wrestle not, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, because of this, take into you the whole armor of God. Not just part of it, not just some of it, but all of it. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Look at verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, if you've been saved any time at all, here's what you've learned. You've learned that the Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. Christian, you are embroiled in a cosmic struggle with the forces of evil. Oh, you may not hear the whizzing of the bullets, you may not see the bursting of the bombs, but the battle is no less real, and the casualties are no less tragic. We found in verses 11 and 12 this little word against. We've mentioned it several times and we've been working our way through this passage, and it reminds us, no less than five times, this little word against reminds us that we're against someone and someone is against us. And it's not the person across the street. It's not the person on the job. It's not anyone living in my home. It's not someone sitting across the aisle in church. That's not where my battle's at. You see, so often we're attacking people rather than dealing with the true issue that's going on in our lives. To realize that our real battle is not flesh and blood, but against the Satan and the legion of demons who is bent on our destruction. Someone has written, Satan has no conscience, no compassion, no remorse, no morals. He feeds on pain, anguish, and filth. He's opposed to everything that is good and right and godly, and desires to devour us spiritually. He wants to swallow up your life. He wants to swallow up my life. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy my family. And dear friend, today, if you're here without Jesus Christ, He wants to claim you for all eternity. That's just reality. But I got good news, Christian. As a soldier in God's army, you're not left defenseless. Paul is penning this letter to the Ephesian believers. He's writing to you and I some 2,000 years later. He's not lounging on the rooftop of a 5-star luxury hotel catching the evening breeze off the Mediterranean Sea. No, he's in prison. He's there for the crime of preaching the gospel. He's guarded by Roman soldiers 24/7. as he began to gaze at these Roman soldiers and realize that the equipment, how that they were provided a suit of armor, they were equipped for their fight. Christian, can I help us remember that Paul, as he's writing to us, is letting us know that God has equipped us for our fight. He's given us a spiritual suit of armor in which you and I can face the enemy. He tells it to us in verse number 13. Notice what he says again. Wherefore, because of all that I've shared with you in the last three verses, take unto you the whole armor of God. Did you notice that? That word taken you means to take to oneself. It means to claim as one's own. What he's saying is, I've given it to you, now you need to take it up. You need to claim it. I want to give you a few thoughts by way of introduction. As we talk about the armor in general, the six pieces of armor that we're going to look at, it's spiritual in nature. Reminding us that we're fighting a spiritual battle, therefore we have spiritual weaponry. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly. They're not guns and knives and spears and swords. That's not what it is. No, it's not a fleshly, physical weapon, but a spiritual weapon. They're not natural, they're supernatural. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the spiritual strongholds that Satan sets up in our lives. It's spiritual in nature. Secondly, it's to be put on. You know, a suit of armor doesn't do you any good unless you put it on, right? Matter of fact, God will not put it on for you. He's commanded, He's provided the armor. Now we're to take the armor. Two times we're instructed to put on the whole armor of God in verse number 11 and then again in verse number 13 that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. Then notice this, not only as we talk about this spiritual armor over the next several weeks, is it spiritual in nature, not only is it to be put on or worn, it's to be left on, that once you put on the armor, you're never to take it off. I'm to wear it 24/7. There was a time that the Roman soldier could lay his armor aside. There would be a time where he would be able to relax in the battle. But may I help us to understand that spiritual conflict goes on every day, every moment of every day in our spiritual life. The Bible speaks of the evil day in verse number 13. The soldier doesn't wait until the battle begins to dress for the fight. No, our enemy is ravenous. He's ruthless. He's relentless. He retreats only to regroup and renew the attack. That's why the Bible says we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. The idea here that when the battle's over, the smoke clears. Christian, you're still standing on the field of battle victorious. We're looking at this first piece of armor. Look, if you would, verse number 14. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Here's the first piece. He said that we're to have our waist belted with truth. I want to talk to you this morning about the belt of truth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, the wonderful music, the wonderful congregation this morning. I pray that you'll bless your word. I pray, Lord, that it'll speak to us and change us and challenge us and grow us. Lord, remind us that we're all in a warfare. That Satan seeks our destruction. But you've not left us defenseless, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take up the armor of God that we might withstand in the evil day. Lord, that we might realize that we're the victors, that we fight from a position of victory. And Lord, it's our responsibility to resist the enemy and to put him to flight. I pray, Father, that you might challenge us. If there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, they would come to know you, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God said that we're to be girded or belted with truth. Did you notice that? The Roman belt, the war belt of a Roman soldier was about a 6-inch wide, heavy, thick leather belt that was clasped around the waist of the soldier. It was the central piece of the armor. As a matter of fact, it held the rest of the armor together. From it hung a sword, rope, ration, or what we would call a food sack. There would be darts that would hang from this belt. Everything the soldier needed in hand-to-hand combat hung from his belt right at his fingertips so that it would be ready for battle. And in the battle, the soldier would actually gather up. He would be dressed with a long flowing, what we call a tunic, or we would call it a shrouded robe today. It would be one piece that would hang down. And he would take up the part, the hem of that, and he would tuck it into his belt. And what that would do is it would give him freedom of movement and mobility for the fight. See, it'd be real hard to battle if you're all caught up with cloth around your knees and all of that. So he would gird up his loins, the Bible said, enabling him to fight. And God said that we're to gird up our loins and we're to gird them with truth. Just as a Roman soldier was to put on his belt and what he would put on last, God tells you, Christian, to put on first. How do you put on the belt? Well, number one, let me give it to you real quickly. Know the truth. Know the truth. If I'm going to put on the belt of truth, then first of all, I must know the truth. We live in a world of lies. Matter of fact, Time magazine had a cover. One was in March of 1966. It asked this question, is God dead? Some 50 years later, you're going to find March 2017, a companion cover of Time magazine that says, is truth dead? They mirror one another. If God's dead, then truth is dead. They both reflect the decaying culture of our postmodern world. These two covers, 50 years apart, tell an important story that without God as an ultimate standard of truth, without objective truth that is the same for every individual, all we have are truths as interpreted by the individual. What I mean is the lie of relativism. They can move on from this particular picture if we can't. Let's just move on, guys. All right, here we go. Relativism. It describes a world of no moral absolutes. No, a world devoid of absolute truth. Now you need to hone in. This is exactly where we are in America. Our society has so decayed that no longer do people recognize the Ten Commandments of God as binding on their lives. You want to ask yourself, why is there violence in our schools? Why is there violence in our cities? Why is there violence in our streets? I'm going to tell you why there's violence. Because we forgotten what God says, thou shalt not kill. That's why. You say, well, preacher, it's not posted anymore on the walls of our schools or in our courthouses. I wonder why. And I can tell you why. Because they're afraid somebody might obey it. That's why. Relativism. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Oz Guinness, in his book, A Time for Truth, Living Free in a World Full of Lies and Hype and Spin, he made this statement. He said, truth in any objective or absolute sense, truth that is independent of the mind of the knower, no longer exists. What he's saying is this, that here's how it flows. Let me just put it down where it's at. And somebody comes up and they share something that they believe is truth. The other person says, well, you know what, that might work for you, but not for me. Truth, your truth may not be my truth. And so suddenly what happens is now I'm the one who determines what's true or not, rather than recognizing that God has given us an absolute standard of truth, an objective truth that is independent from every one of us, that thy word is truth. That's it. It's given rise to secularism. A society without God. You ever notice the only time God's mentioned on our television set or in movies is in the area of blasphemy as they take His name in vain? Or frivolity as they jest about God? Or in animosity as they create a picture of God as being some terrible monster? Or what they would say is the church is some place of danger today. That's how they want to picture it. It's given rise to pluralism. where there's no one religion in the minds of people superior to another religion. They're saying every people, every culture has its religion, and that they're all equal, that no one truth is greater than another truth, that all roads ultimately lead to God anyway. So it's not the Christian truth is greater than this truth or that truth. May I help us understand something this day? That there is an exclusivity to Bible Christianity, for Jesus said, "I am the truth." That's what He said. All of these lies have their source in Satan, who's the father of lies. Don't you look at a verse for me real quickly. I want to get done today, but I'm going to be doubtful. Look at John chapter 8. Would you turn there real quickly? I want you to see something this morning. John chapter 8, and find, if you would please, verse number 44. Do you realize that for much of our young adults and young people today, truth for them is driven by their social media? You know, sad to say that even among adults today, much of their truth is driven by what they read on Facebook. Maybe we need to spend more time in the book. I'm just suggesting. Look at John chapter 8, verse 44. He's talking to some Pharisees. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust or the desires of your father ye will do." Remind us, there's only two families in the world, and every person's a member of one or the other. We're either in God's family or the devil's family. Say, "Preacher, how to get out of the devil's family? You have to do what I did one day, and that's receive Jesus as Savior." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. He speaketh, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. What he's saying here, he's speaking out of his own self. For he is a liar and the father of it. So listen, something you need to always remember. Satan has never told the truth, and God has never told a lie. Pilate, standing before the Lord in a cynical, sarcastic manner, asked a question that's still being asked in our society today. What is truth? What is truth? That's what he said to Jesus before he judged the truth and sentenced the truth and scourged the truth and mocked the truth and crucified the truth. Jesus has said, "Everyone is of the truth, heareth my voice." That's what he said. Can I help us to understand this morning, truth is not a system, nor is it a philosophy, it is a person. If you want to know the truth, you must come to know the Christ of truth, because He alone is truth. Our God is a God of truth. The Lord Jesus is the bringer of truth. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. John 1:14 said of the Lord Jesus that He was full of grace and truth. John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Ephesians 4:21, we saw it back in our earlier message. Jesus, the Bible says, as the truth is in Jesus. Let me give you another verse to jot down real quickly this morning. It's 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 20. Listen to it real carefully. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Something that's true and genuine and real. Everything else is just falsehood. Everything Satan offers us is counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. The secret of a life that is true and real and genuine is knowing Him that is true and real and genuine. It is knowing Him that is the truth. When you and I come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have come to know the truth. That's it. Friend, you can never know the person of truth apart from the book of truth. Can't do it. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Psalm 119, verse 160, the Bible said, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." The belt of truth, think about it, is the person of truth in the book of truth, isn't it? We're to arm ourselves. It deflects the dart of deception. Satan is a deceiver. He's the spirit of error. He's forever substituting his lies for God's truth. He is. Do you realize that for years before I was ever saved, he told me, "You're going to be okay. You can do it later." You know what the sad fact is? In many people's lives, later never comes. They put off being saved and put off being saved and put off being saved until there comes a time they find themselves in eternity and they were never saved. Can I tell you the reason the devil hates the Bible, this book, so much is because it's a word of truth. One Bible scholar made this statement. He said, "Satan does not waste his ammunition. Professors who are being paid to teach philosophy and English and biology and mathematics often take time from their class periods to undermine the Bible. Why are they not doing the same thing with the sacred books of other religions?" The answer is that Satan, the original liar, is sympathetic with the books that lie. His real anger is directed against the book of truth because it contains the dynamite for his defeat. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to win your war against falsehood, then you better know the truth. Number two, not only if I'm going to put on the belt of truth, must I know the truth. Secondly, I must live the truth. I must live the truth. Look again at our text in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse number 14. Notice what he says. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." The loins, it talks about the inner man. He's talking about the seed of our being, who we are. Psalm 51 verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Psalm 119 verse 30, "I have chosen the way of truth." This idea of girding about, when you put on a belt this morning, fellas, it encircled your, and ladies, if they have a belt, it encircled us. It goes all the way around us. Truth should encircle us. It ought to characterize our entire lives. We're to arm ourselves with the truth by being a man or a woman of integrity and uprightness of character, to be a person of honesty and sincerity. It is being who and what you say you are. That's what it is. It's being real. You know what? You know why Christianity is so anemic in the day in which we live? Because many Christians don't live what they claim. They're not real. That's why. Far too often Christians look right on the outside, but inwardly they're not what they appear to be. They're not real. When we do battle with the adversary, Satan, there's no faking it. There are no pretenders. You have to be real from the inside out and from the outside in. Christians sit in churches with spiritual masks on, pretending at times everything's all right when they know it's not. That they're harboring known sin. They're living worldly lifestyles. They have an inflated view of themselves. They become comfortable in their own carnality. When all the while Satan has an inroad into their lives, chipping away at them until eventually he devours them. Live the truth. No wonder David said, "Search me, O God. Search me. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Can I tell you, instead of covering up, we ought to be opening up. Letting God cast the searchlight of His Word upon our lives, upon our hearts, bringing to light the hidden unrealities that need to be dealt with. Can I tell you, just as a soldier's belt encircled his body and held his armor snugly in place, so truth binds the Christian's armor together and leaves us ready for the fight. Can I tell you, Christian, are you living the truth this morning? Are you who you say you are? Not just sitting in this room this morning, but are you who you say you are at home with your husband and your children, or your wife and your children? Are you living the truth on the job, out in the community, in our dealings with others? I never forget witnessing to a man. Matter of fact, Dexter and I went and seen him. He was a friend of Dexter's. I won't call his name. Man was dying of cancer. He didn't know the Lord. I'll never forget Dexter and I sitting in his living room getting ready to share the gospel with him. We began to open the Bible and share with him. And he has not long for this world. Began to share the truth with him. And he stopped us and he said, "Listen, He said, I've been doing business I've been doing business with churches all my life. He said, I've never been cheated more than by Christians and churches. He said, if they're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. All I'm saying, Calvary Baptist Church, is this. Let's be real. That's all I'm saying. There's a world looking on and they need to see truth. And we don't need to be the ones who claim we know the truth. We ought to live the truth in our everyday lives. Wouldn't we agree with that? Are you living the truth? Young person, let me ask you a question. Are you living the truth at school? Are you living the truth among your friends? God said, I need to know the truth. I know Him in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me, who took my sin to the cross and paid for it in full. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world, that's you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? Friend, I'm glad that there is the truth of salvation, aren't you? And once we have received Christ by faith as Savior, you say, well, preacher, you don't understand. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done or how I've lived. I need to straighten up some areas of my life. Can I tell you, God knows us better than we know ourselves. God says, whosoever will, let him come. He didn't say to straighten yourself up. He didn't say to make yourself look better. He just said, come. And maybe this morning what you need to do is just come to the Savior. And Christian, for you and I who know the truth, to live it out in our everyday lives, not just in here, but outside these walls that people will see. If we're going to overcome falsehood in our world, if we're going to overcome deception, if we're going to combat the lies and that pervade our land, then you and I must know the truth and we must live the truth in our everyday lives. Let me give you one more thing real quickly. If you're going to put on the belt of truth, then you need to tell the truth. I need to tell the truth. Now, when I said that, you know what immediately come to your mind? That means I shouldn't lie. Could I say that's true? Can I just help us understand that the Bible's going to teach us that honesty is not just the best policy, it's the only policy. But that's not what I'm talking about with this point. That's living the truth. That's being a person of honesty and integrity. Telling the truth to our mates. Telling the truth to our children. Children, telling the truth to your parents. That's honesty. That's living truth. That's being a person of integrity. I almost had all kinds of statistics. Do you realize that the average American lies 11 times a week? I had all kinds of stats. I was going to bring them, and I actually pulled them out of the message. I am going to give you one more. Do you know in a 10-minute conversation, on average, a person will tell two lies? In America, on average, tell two lies. Do you know who receives the most lies? Parents. Is that a surprise to anybody? Just checking. Do you know who comes in second? Spouses. Do you know where there's more dishonesty at than any other place in America? In our homes. And if there can't be honesty in our homes, how can there be honesty anywhere else? If we can't live the truth at home, where else can we live it? I'm just saying, let's live the truth. And then let's tell the truth. Look back at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Would you do that? We've been working our way through the book of Ephesians, line by line, precept by precept, verse by verse. Look at verse 15. Look what he says. But speaking the truth in love. Christian, God has called you to be salt and light. We live in a world of falsehoods and lies and deception. Our TV lies to us. The radio lies to us. The internet lies to us. Sadly, our elected officials lie to us. Right? Sure. Our world is filled with it. Everywhere we turn, there's falsehood and lies. And God's called me to be salt and light. That means I'm to be a preserving influence in our society. Listen, if there's one place that there ought to be honesty and integrity, it ought to be in God's house among God's people. Wouldn't we agree with that? Because our God's a God of truth. And that should flow outside these walls into society. I preserve the society around me. I have a preserving influence. We stop some of the decay by being the people of God and living out His truth in the world around us. And then I'm to be light. You know what light does? It dispels darkness. You know what truth does? It dispels error. You want to get rid of error? Then tell the truth. Can I tell you, our world is filled with falsehoods and errors, aren't they? There's the lie that the baby inside the womb is not really a living person. It's just a blob. It's just a mass. And really, when it gets outside the womb, it's not really a baby unless it's wanted. That's our society. Our society says you can choose to be whatever gender you want to be. Our society says you can love whoever you want to love. It's what our society says. Our society says you can live any way you want to live. Isn't that what our society says? And what God's saying is that my people shouldn't just know the truth and they shouldn't just live the truth. They should tell the truth. That means I'm to speak truth to this generation. That means I'm to speak truth on the job. I'm to speak truth in the community. I'm to speak truth among my family. I'm to speak truth among my friends. I am to be a truth teller. That means that I am to tell the truth about life. I'm to tell the truth about eternity. I'm to tell the truth about marriage. Right? I'm to tell the truth about God. I'm to tell the truth about eternity and the way to heaven. I'm to be a truth teller. Can I stop us just for a moment? There's a whole lot of people on social media. There's a whole lot of people in churches, a whole lot of people in pulpits today, and they're speaking truth, but there's one problem with you. You say, preacher, what is it? They're not speaking truth in love. See, it's one thing to speak the truth, it's something else to speak it in love. You see, I'm fearful the reason the world has turned us off in the world in the area of dialogue about truth and error and dealing with falsehood is because that when we step... Can I tell you, the world expects more from us than we expect from ourselves. And when you and I are less than what we ought to be and how we have dialogue with the world, if I have a mean and hateful spirit, if I have a harshness about me, can I tell you, you just might as well forget it. They're going to cut us off. Far too much preaching is speaking the truth, but there's no love in it. Wouldn't we agree with that? By the way, let me help you understand something. Bible love never condones lies and errors. Never does. Speaking the truth in love doesn't mean that we condone it. It means we confront it, but we do it in the right spirit. To be a truth teller. Let me ask you a question. You say, preacher, I got the first two down. I know the truth. Praise the Lord. I'm even living the truth. But God said, if you want to put the belt of truth on, if you want to overcome falsehood, then you've got to learn to tell the truth. The sad part is that when the dialogue starts, Christians go silent. And we don't ever tell the truth. Well, they might be upset at me. Oh, I might lose that friend. They may make my life difficult. Do you think they made the Lord's life difficult? Yeah. Did he ever stop telling the truth? No. And Christian, can I tell you what's the matter in America? Can I help us understand what's happened in America is Christians stopped telling the truth. You want to put on the belt of truth? You want to overcome falsehood? Then know the truth. Live the truth. Be real. And number three, have the courage to tell the truth. But when you tell it, speak it in love. Wouldn't we agree with that? Let me ask you a question. Do you have on the belt of truth this morning? Are you arming yourself with truth? Are you real? Are you claiming one thing here and living something else out there? Maybe it's time to get real. Just all I'm saying. And have the courage to tell the truth. Let's bow our heads in prayer.